Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host. I am your pal. I'm the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun, and you can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And the Locked On Network actually has something pretty cool to plug for you. They have the very first ever live show. They're going to do this at the NBA trade deadline. For those of you who don't know, there is a Locked On for like every sports team. So there's, you know, Locked On Bears, there's Locked On Broncos, there's Locked On Utah Jazz, there's Locked On Timberwolves. Go check all of those out. But the Locked On NBA, their like flagship NBA show, is going to do a whole live thing for the trade deadline, which is coming up. And it's a really exciting time in basketball. And you should definitely go check that out. In terms of housekeeping for this show, we have the final matchup of the first round of the pain bracket going on. If you haven't been paying attention, we've been doing a little bracket of all of the bad things that have happened to Vikings fans and to the team of the Vikings. All the things that hurt to think about, and asking people which one hurts most to think about. We have the final round, or the final matchup of the first round going on right now, probably as you're listening to this. If you go head over to my Twitter, you'll probably find it if you scroll down a little bit, and you can go vote yourself. Right now, we have another one that is probably going to end in a blowout. It is the 09 championship game, the Bounty Gate, Favre throwing across his body, that whole thing, and the 2003 Nate Poole force-out catch that knocked a fairly promising Vikings team out of the playoffs after starting that season 6-0. So which one hurts you more to think about? Go vote in the pain bracket, and then we can start the second round where things really will start to get difficult. We also have some news to go over. The Vikings have still been pretty quiet, although teams are starting to announce their full-on coaching staffs. The Jets announced their full-on coaching staff with an offensive line coach who is not Rick Dennison. And that, honestly, that might have been the thing that the Vikings and Rick Dennison himself were waiting on to see if they would hire someone else or what would kind of go on there. And I know that that staff was waiting for the Super Bowl to kind of fill itself out and to finish things, and kind of everybody was waiting on each other. Dominoes are still falling, but it's not an instantaneous process, and as this is a daily podcast, the update kind of sounds the same every day as these things are going to move a little bit slowly. But in more substantive news, the Falcons released a kicker, and his name is Matt Bryant, and he's one of the best kickers of all time. He's 43, but age is kind of different for kickers because they don't take hits and they don't really strain their bodies that much. You know, they only kick, what, like 2, 3, 4 times a game, and they don't kick that much more often in practice. So it's not like, you know, a golfer that will like torque their body all out of whack, or a pitcher that will, you know, only their arm will only last for so long. And it's definitely not like, you know, an offensive or defensive lineman or a running back or somebody that's, you know, putting their body through a whole bunch of punishment, you know, day in and day out. The kicker is a position that really lends itself to longevity. You know, we see Adam Vinatieri last forever. We've seen Sebastian Janikowski last forever. I think he is a testament to exactly as athletic as you have to be a good kicker in the NFL. And Matt Bryant, I don't think he's any exception. I think he's still got plenty of years left on him. And if the Vikings are dissatisfied with Dan Bailey, and maybe they are and maybe they aren't, I think he was fine, even though he definitely had, you know, experienced a rough patch. Most of that could be chalked up to the special teams coordinator and, you know, the reputation he had with kickers. We talked about all that when Mike Prefer left. But if you don't trust Dan Bailey and you want another proven kicker who can come in and potentially give a boost to a position that we all know the Vikings need, Matt Bryant would be an interesting name out on the market. We'll see if they do that. Dan Bailey technically is not under contract, so the Vikings do not have a kicker under contract in 2019, and so this presents an opportunity for them to make a choice. So the last thing that I want to talk to you all about before we get into the meat of this episode is a video that I saw. I first saw it on Reddit, but I'll link in the show notes the original YouTube link so you can watch it yourself. But it's an interview with Kirk Cousins, and he's describing why he chooses to wear number 8. And I'm a sucker for stories like this where, you know, NFL players really open up. I think too often we kind of look at NFL players as contract, especially this time of year. You know, we're looking at them as cap numbers and production numbers and stuff, and I'm pretty guilty of that too, but they're people. And I think it's really cool when players, especially, you know, high profile players like Kirk Cousins, open up and talk about themselves. And if you are not familiar with Kirk Cousins and his personality and stuff, he's this, like, super religious guy. And so he's telling the story of this, like, Bible anecdote that he's a big fan of, where a bunch of this guy's sons are being lined up and they're choosing who's going to be the next king. And they go through seven of them, and none of those seven are good enough, so it's, like, the eighth guy who wasn't even part of the running, and it's, like, this kind of underdog story, and he gets chosen. And so it's, like, you know, this kind of, like, underdog vibe. And when Kirk Cousins gets drafted by the Redskins, he ends up being the eighth quarterback taken in the class, and it's this, like, kind of moment of fate, and it's really cool. I personally am not a very religious guy, but I think if you are, you will appreciate this story a lot more than I can, but I still really appreciate it a lot because, A, it's, you know, an NFL player who is usually very buttoned up and political getting, I think, personal. I think there's a lot of people that watch football that can relate to that kind of thing, and it's really cool when you can kind of see, like, NFL players that are usually held up on this, like, superhuman pedestal kind of talk about something that a lot of people experience. And plus, it's a really nice kind of, like, underdog story and something that you can tell really means a lot to him. I think it's really nice and worth sharing, especially in this part of the year where we aren't constantly beholden to, like, breaking down film and stats and production and stuff. You know, we can talk about who these guys are as people. And you're going to hear a lot more on that from me as this podcast moves forward, especially as we approach training camp. I'm going to talk a lot more about where these guys come from, especially the, like, camp bodies that probably aren't going to make the team and guys pursuing a dream. I think all of that's really compelling, just as compelling as the scheme and what do you do against cover three and that kind of stuff. So I think it's a cool story worth sharing. I'll link it in the show notes. Go check it out. Even if you're like me and you're not that religious, I think it's still worth checking out. So there was a lot of talk about Everson Griffin, and we're going to talk about that and kind of him as a quote-unquote cap casualty. There were a couple articles that were written yesterday that really got the community buzzing, and I'm going to talk about them. But first, we do have to step away for a quick ad break, so I'm going to do that. And when we come back, we'll talk about Griffin and his contract and all that. All right, we are back. So let's talk about Everson Griffin, because there was a lot of talk about cap casualties. And we've talked a lot about, you know, how we would save money on this show. If you go check out the Monday show and last Thursday's show, there was a lot of talk about, you know, how the Vikings can save money and what they should do and who they should cut and everything like that. And I think the philosophy that I applied during that, and I talked a lot more in those episodes, so go listen to them if you want more of that content. But basically the lesson and the principle that I was applying there is don't make the team worse. You know, save the money, but you need to come out of the offseason better than when you left it, right? Not richer. You can't put cap space on the field. You have to come out of the offseason better than when you left it. But this is kind of a time of year where cap space is the belle of the ball, right? Everybody wants to save as much money as possible because there's all kinds of awesome free agents that are going to hit the market. Robert Alford, he was just announced that he wasn't going to get his contract picked up. There's all kinds of fun pass rushing names out there like DeMarcus Lawrence or Jadeveon Clowney or even guys coming from the Vikings like Sheldon Richardson. There's really interesting cornerback names and safety. I mean, LaMarcus Joyner, Earl Thomas is currently slated to become an unrestricted free agent. There's all kinds of really, you know, really pretty toys that all look very fun. And for Vikings fans, we kind of want to, like, open up our wallets a little bit, right? We want to make the cap room so that we can go pursue all those shiny new names. So it's completely natural to, like, look at the Vikings contracts and look at the guys with no dead money and say, yeah, could we live without Everson Griffin? Probably. Could we live without, you know, maybe Trey Waynes? Oh, probably. And, you know, and kind of start to sit there and go and start to add up. Oh, man, we could make, like, $50 million of cap space and go after all these free agents, and that would be very fun. But perhaps we get a little bit too wrapped up in novelty, right? We can look at certain players and the fact that they're new and they're hot names is very exciting, but are they actually better than what the Vikings have put out now? I think, you know, if you look at the Vikings defense, breaking that whole thing apart and replacing it with a bunch of players from lesser defenses on its surface, and I know that's a super general way to look at it, isn't the most attractive option. And so I kind of wanted to just look at, like, the Everson Griffin case specifically. Because what happened was the Star Tribune put out an article talking about possible cap casualties, talking about Everson Griffin's situation, and at the same time, there was an article on Daily Norseman. I'll link both of them in the show notes so you can judge for yourself, but basically they're both making the case for, like, possibly cutting Everson Griffin, and it kind of goes something like, He's due like a $10 million cap hit. He's got like 4 years left on his contract with very little guaranteed money on them. I think if you cut him right now, you would be at $1.2 million of dead cap, which is a very palatable number when you consider that you'd save like a net of like $9 million or something like that. And if you look at the roster around him, you know, Danielle Hunter broke out in 2018 and he was this like superstar all-pro player and he kind of took over the mantle of like the premier edge rusher. And Stephen Weatherly had a nice year, and you look and you say, all right, Stephen Weatherly and Danielle Hunter, that was our starting defensive end combination for a couple weeks while Everson Griffin was dealing with his mental health issue, and that worked out okay, so why don't we just roll with that and save a bunch of money? Not to mention, you know, he's aging, and he wasn't the player that he usually is last year. Maybe he's on the decline, right? So there's all these different factors that kind of look at this guy in Everson Griffin and say, hey, maybe we don't need him and maybe we can use that money on something else, on one of those shiny new toys. But I kind of want to break that down and look and say, okay, are all those things actually true? Are all those things, or at least true enough to make it worth it to cut Everson Griffin just to save the money? You know, just to start with, his performance in 2018, it was definitely down. And if you just look at the raw stats, right, if you just look at, or even the advanced stats, right, and like in pass rushing productivity, that's the stat we used primarily in the pass rush episode to evaluate people, he ranked like 64th or something like that among defensive ends. So that's barely a starting quality defensive end, right? And that, and you maybe look at that and look at, you know, compare it to 2015, 16, 17 and say, oh man, he hit 30, 31, he got old and he declined. But I think that kind of thing would really lack the context of what happened during the season with Everson Griffin. You know, he had that lapse in his mental health. He had that kind of breakdown. It was really sad to watch. He took the time he needed away to, you know, kind of recover and become himself again. But when he came back, you could tell in interviews, you could tell on the field that he was not the same guy that, you know, started out the season like talking trash to Jimmy Garoppolo, or the same guy that, you know, had such an iconic reaction to the Minneapolis Miracle. That energy and that heart and that soul really matters. I'm going to link another thing in the show notes. It's an article I've talked about a lot, but I think it's really required reading for like every football fan, no matter how casual or how in-depth you want to be. I think it's just something that you really should read. It's called Deny Emotion and You Only See a Fraction of the Game. It's written by Matt Waldman. I think it might be one of the best football articles I've ever read, and it continues to be that, even though it's pretty old at this point. And it basically describes that, like, listen, scheme matters, and you look at stats and production matters, and all those things aren't, like, bad tools to evaluate or anything. But you also have to take into context emotion. If you talk to any player, talk to any coach, they will tell you about the impact of either getting physically dominated or mentally dominated. I think back to a moment in the 2017 NFC Championship game against the Eagles, you know, where I think they had Xavier Rhodes mic'd up, or they had a mic on him, and he just said, man, they're scheming us. And he had his hands on his hips, and you could tell how defeated he looked. And he got worked all day. And I think that kind of thing matters. And when you have a guy like Everson Griffin who can get you hyped up, and he can really mentally dominate someone. I think back to another mic'd up segment with him a few years ago against the Chargers, where he was just trash talking this left tackle across from him all day, and really just like embarrassed that guy all day. And it got worse and worse and worse as the game went on. And you could tell that guy was just mentally dominated. Everson Griffin was talking up a storm and then beating him, and he couldn't do anything about it. And you could just tell that was just like ruining him and ruining his technique and ruining his effort. And it was just like a total mental domination. That kind of thing is valuable, and it translates into production that we can measure with stats, but it would be naive to assume that production has nothing to do with the emotion. And I think the fact that Everson Griffin's mental state was different and his emotion wasn't there, and understandably so, because he went through something really, really hard. But as the season went on, we saw him kind of recuperate from that, and we saw him regain that form. I mean, the game he came back against the Saints was probably the worst game he's played in his career, maybe outside of like his rookie year or something, but definitely one of the worst games we've seen from him in several years. And fast forward toward the end of the season, and he's like re-becoming the person that we're used to him being. And I think the further that incident is in the past, the less effect it's going to have on him. So I think in the 2019 season, you know, when that's now several months ago, almost a whole year ago, I think we'll be able to see Everson Griffen regain the form that he had in 2015, 16, 17, and he'll be that player. And I think you have to, if you want to cut that player to save money, then you can have that opinion. But you got to really treat him as closer to that player, because everything we look at tells us that he's going to be closer to that guy and further away from the 2018 guy, unless you just think he's going to fall off an age cliff, which I don't think 2018 tells you, because there was just such an emotional component. And ignoring that, I think it'd just be naive. So there's also just the money angle of this and the idea of a contract and the idea of value and stuff. And we're going to talk a lot about that, but I do have to step away really quick for a second ad break. So we're going to do that. And when we come back, we'll talk about Everson Griffen from a more financial angle and just the idea of like edge rushers and markets and stuff, and get a little bit more into the nitty gritty about like, if you do cut Everson Griffen, what can you expect the consequences of that to be? And is it better? So I'll see you all in a minute. All right, we are back. So a word on contracts. So basically, contracts are constantly appreciating. That is to say that they're always going up. That's because the salary cap is always going up. But the thing about a lot of NFL contracts is that they don't grow with the salary cap. Sometimes they do, but not always. And sometimes the salary cap grows faster than you were projecting back when you signed the contract. So as in terms of like the percentage of cap that a player uses, can fluctuate. So all of this is to say that when you sign a contract in 1 year, you know, say 2017, like the Vikings signed with Everson Griffen, the longer that contract kind of stays as it was signed, the cheaper it's going to feel over time. So say your idea to replace Everson Griffen is to basically, you know, cut him, take that 9 or 10 million or whatever, and put it towards an edge rusher that you think is going to be better. The point is, what you could buy for $10 million a year in 2017 is less than what you can buy, or is more than what you can buy now for $10 million, because things just got more expensive. And the salary cap that you save just isn't worth as much because the salary cap is bigger. This is just a basic economic concept. The more there is of something, the less valuable it is, right? If I have one Nintendo Switch, I would be very sad if it got stolen. If I have 10 Nintendo Switches and one gets stolen, I'm a lot less sad about that. The same thing applies to money and to defensive ends and to a lot of different things in the NFL that we can assign any value to at all. Now, all this being said, we don't have to choose between this like binary, right? And this is sometimes the discussion gets stuck in a binary of, do you pay $10 million for Everson Griffen, or do you pay nothing for Everson Griffen and let him walk away? And that's not how contracts work. You can restructure, you can ask to take pay cuts, you can figure out ways to extend him and sign him to a different contract where he makes less year over year, but he has more guarantees. That's what we did. If you go listen to the Monday episode, that's what we did with Everson Griffen. We had him, you know, take more guarantees, but we basically cut his cap hit in half. So there are options to get the money down when you need the money. And you actually kind of see this sometimes when you hear conversations about the salary cap in general, that it's like kind of a construct, that it's not a hard and fast number. It's very fluid because it can always be manipulated, and you can always convert something into a signing bonus, or, you know, restructure a contract, or have someone take a pay cut, or make a trade, or do something. You can always maneuver it if you really need it. And I think the major caution here is just to not make the team worse to save money. There isn't a set amount of cap space you have to go into free agency with. If you have a roster that doesn't have a lot of holes, and I think that's true for the Vikings, I think they have holes at offensive line and a couple needs here and there, but they're not anywhere near the like futility of a roster like maybe the Raiders or a team like the Cardinals or the Jets that is just like fully in rebuilding mode and they need as much money as they need as they can get because they just need to get a bunch of veterans in. You know, the Vikings have a few very specific needs that they could pinpoint and target, and I think that they should plan to, you know, figure out enough cap space to deal with those things, and that includes, you know, the Sheldon Richardson and Anthony Barr re-signings and stuff. And I think, you know, cutting a player just for cap space isn't really something that happens in the NFL. They will figure out what their need for cap space is and then look at the roster to see how they can create it. But I think too often we look at these things and we say, all right, well, cap space is a thing that's usually good, so let's cut Everson Griffen for it. They're not going to do that until they realize they need that money. And they're not going to do that until they realize they need that money and also realize that they can't restructure him or have him take a pay cut or any of that kind of stuff. And I don't think that negotiation is going to go that far south. It very rarely does with the Vikings. So if I were to predict the situation, I would be pretty surprised if the Vikings just outright cut Everson Griffen. I would not be surprised if something happened with him over the next month or so as we kind of approach the end of this league year and the fully guaranteeing of a lot of money. But I think the Vikings are very aware of the fact that you don't need to just cut good players to save money. You don't need to create more needs to save money. That's kind of the problem with, like, cutting players, is, like, if you cut Everson Griffen, you need to get a new edge rusher, right? Unless you want to just anoint Stephen Weatherly with a starting job. I personally don't think he played well enough to have that. But even if you do, you probably need to give him competition, right? Or you need to get another good rotational player in there or something like that. And either way you slice it, your edge rushing core is probably worse than it would have been if you had just kept Everson Griffen. The goal shouldn't be to create as much cap space as possible. The goal should be to get through free agency better than when you started, or in a place to make the draft able to make you better than when you started. Cap space is a resource to use, not a prize to be won by, you know, making the most cold-hearted cuts. And then finally on Everson Griffen, I think there are two kind of opinions that can't coexist, right? And I think we talked a little bit about over the course of the season, kind of missing Brian Robeson's leadership and missing Terrence Newman's leadership in the locker room. Even, you know, Terrence Newman was in the organization. It sounds like he won't be in 2019, though, so I think that still applies now going forward anyways. But I think those points have a little bit of merit, right? Those are guys that have been in the organization. Those are guys that kind of define the personality of the team, you know, guys that understand how to be like mature football players, how to have the right kind of amnesia, how to go about your business in a professional way and, you know, prepare for teams correctly and really be smart about it. Losing those guys, I think the team lost a little bit of that personality. And I think the other thing the team has is a very tenacious personality and a kind of goofy, but a relentless kind of personality. I think they had that in 2017. And I think they lost that in 2018 when Everson Griffen was not with the team. And I think, you know, converting that from a temporary problem that they can now leave in the past to a permanent problem they now have to solve by finding another kind of leader like that. You know, I don't think that you want to put yourself in a situation where your team doesn't have a personality. Right now, Everson Griffen is the personality of the Vikings. He may not be the face of the Vikings because he's a defensive player, but he's the personality of the Vikings. That goofy relentlessness is something that I think has defined the team pretty much the whole time he's been here, definitely the whole time Mike Zimmer has been here. And I think that's been a really, really good thing. You know, it keeps spirits high and it keeps them, you know, hyped up and ready to come out and, like, quote unquote, get up for the games. And I just don't think that it's wise to lose more of that leadership. And unfortunately, that's not really something that you can measure. But I think it's undeniable that it has, you know, that kind of effect. So I think cutting Everson Griffen just to save cap space is not going to be that good of an idea. Restructuring him to save a little money, that's fine. Figuring out the contracts, but you got to have Everson Griffen on the field. And if you don't, you better have a plan for getting a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence or Jadeveon Clowney in the building to cover for that, and to somehow do so for less than $10 million a year. That's not going to happen in the 2019 offseason, and I don't think that you're going to get a more efficient deal than Everson Griffen for $10 million. So that is going to do it for today's episode. That's going to do it for this week. Go vote in the pain bracket. We will start round two next week. We maybe we'll talk a little bit about the AAF if anything interesting comes up. I mean, obviously, this is an NFL podcast about an NFL team, so probably not too much, but I still find it kind of interesting, and I think it'll be fun. I'm definitely going to follow it as that goes on. I like the rule changes and stuff too. We might talk about that, and we'll talk a lot more about, you know, possible free agents, especially offensive line free agents. So definitely tune in next week for all of that stuff. But for now, for the next few days, this has been Locked On Vikings. Thank you all so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Go check out the trade deadline live episode of Locked On NBA. That is incredibly cool that they're doing that. Go check that out, especially if you're an NBA fan who is obsessed with, like, the Anthony Davis and all the crazy trade rumors that are going on. It's a really fun time. Go check all that stuff out. I will see you all next week. Skol.